It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're in Washington, D.C. today and ran into Dr. Kathy Simmons, Chief Veterinarian, National Cattlemen's Beef Association from the NCBA offices. Great to see you.
Good to see you, Tony.
So as we start winding down the year, I know certain parts of our economy and certain areas of business start slowing down. Your work doesn't.
Disease and pestilence, no holiday, Tony. You know that.
And I'm going to throw out something here. I routinely say I don't swim. I need to stay in the shallow end, but I'm about to get in the deep end, so help me out here.
Sure.
OTC to RX. Once you start breaking some of those acronyms down, it'll make a lot more sense. But why do we need to talk about that?
We need to talk about that because implementation of FDA's guidance for industry 263, which is taking the remaining medically important antimicrobial drugs in all dosage forms that are over-the-counter, OTC, to RX, or veterinary prescription only. And this is part of FDA's judicious use philosophy that they have. The agency started in 2012 with 209, and then in 2013 with guidance for industry 213. And these two guidances said that the antimicrobial drugs for use in food-producing animals needed to be used to maintain animal health through therapeutic uses, prevention, control, and treatment, and that they needed to have veterinary oversight or consultation in some form. 213 dealt with 96% of the medically important antimicrobials used in the beef cattle industry in feed and in water. 263, which is going to be implemented in June of 2023, deals with the other remaining 4%.
So for producers and definitely those who are front line on this, they'll understand it. But for those who aren't really necessarily dealing with this, why is this important?
This is important because it's a change in how many producers may obtain some of their antimicrobial drugs. This 4% that we talk about are things like boluses, injectables, to name some products. It's like oxytetracycline injectable. It's like some of your sulfonamide boluses. It's like some of your intramammary infusion drugs that are medically important. And these drugs, traditionally, they have gotten at retail stores or catalog distributors, and they did not require a veterinary prescription. They will have label changes that take place by June of 2023, and the label will say, by veterinary prescription only. So that means that it's more and more important to have a good relationship with your veterinarian. That way, if you have some routine diseases where you might need to use these products, you might want to have some of these products on hand for immediate use, you need to establish some protocols with your veterinarian so you understand how best to use them, number one, so your veterinarian knows how you're going to be using them, and so then they can maybe supply you with what you need to take swift action, and they would feel maybe in some cases it doesn't necessitate them coming to the farm if they're familiar with your herd. And that's where this veterinary client-patient relationship comes in, or as we call it, the VCPR. And that means that the veterinarian has seen your herd, understands your herd health practices, has seen your herd health records, has treated animals on your operation, and has a working relationship with you. And it's a trust between the veterinarian and the producer to use these products responsibly.
Just wondering at the same time, this is happening while we do have a shortage of veterinarians. Does this just highlight the importance of new entrants coming in, those who are willing to step up?
It certainly does for food animal practitioners. That's where some of these shortages do exist. They exist in rural communities where maybe 200 miles, that's the radius that a practicing food animal veterinarian, you know, may have to see clients. Therefore, getting to someplace immediately can sometimes be difficult. So it does highlight the rural veterinarian shortage, some of which may not actually be a numbers game with numbers of veterinarians, but an economics game by do we have enough animals in an area for food animal to support a veterinarian.
Let's talk about another issue that you and I routinely talk about. I think every time we talk biosecurity. Mm-hmm. So, and in the past, we've talked about this from different angles, but the importance of the customs, the work, customs and border control, why is that such an important part for biosecurity?
Well, I think when we worry about foreign animal diseases, and that's diseases that we do not have in this country, but that can come into this country through maybe animal products, such as foot and mouth disease could come in, African swine fever in the swine industry, you worry about products that people are bringing in. You know, we all see that card that they ask you to fill out. Have you been on a farm? You know, and ask a number of questions. They also have checkpoints along customs in the border where you have to go through customs, you know, with your products. And that's where some of our Customs and Border Patrol agents who are four-legged instead of two-legged really are of benefit, and that's these little beagles, or the Beagle Brigade, as we call them. They can actually sniff out, quote-unquote, some of these products, and they have found hides at Dulles Airport that were illegal coming in. They found meat products coming in. One of the little guys found entire head of a pig coming in. So, you know, it's a number of things that you just wouldn't imagine would come through the border without being declared. And that's because a lot of these products can't be brought in. So we trust that Customs and Border Protection remains vigilant. It's one of our first lines of defense. And we have supported money going to the Beagle Brigade and training of these dogs, and certainly support any appropriations to keep Customs and Border Patrol robust in their activities.
Okay, so final one here for you. Some of these issues that we've talked about, producers don't really need to do anything, just the awareness. But what is it that you think producers need to keep in mind as we start heading into a new year? Maybe it's from your days of working with the animals and the producers, or maybe it's something you're seeing from maybe that 30,000-foot level. But as we look forward to 2023, what are some things producers need to keep in mind?
I think they're big issues. Certainly, biosecurity at the farm level is always important. The Beef Quality Assurance Program has taken this issue on by creating a biosecurity template that you can use to have your own written biosecurity plan, working with your veterinarian, how best to establish that. Because we know that unlike a vertically integrated operation, the beef cattle industry is complex, and our operations are over very geographic areas, and there are differences in housing, and there are differences in operations. So that means the risks for disease are different. So it's important to establish a biosecurity plan. In the event of a foreign animal disease, that plan could be enhanced to include permitted movements of animals and to include the risks for products that could carry in disease, such as feeds and feedstuff, that type of thing. So I think that's important. It's also important to make sure that your animals are identified. You want to be able to, if we have permitted movements, identify these animals, which means that we need to have a traceability system in place. So I think these are things that we all work towards. These are big ticket items that you need to think about in addition to the daily herd health that you work with your veterinarian on.
So really important for certain areas to be on the offensive, but other areas to maybe play a little more defense.
I think that both are important. And I think certainly herd health at your level of your veterinarian is the first step. And I think if we can ensure that, then that's a good first start.
So good to see you. Thanks for your work.
Good to see you too, Tony.
By the way, she'll be celebrating 11 years next year in May.
May.
With the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. She's the chief veterinarian with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association in Washington, D.C., Dr. Kathy Simmons. joining us on today's Agribusiness Report.